My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Joining us now is our good friend Bill Oram, columnist of The Oregonian. I love when people locally get accused of being homers and anti of both local schools. That means you're probably doing something right, at Bill Oram on Twitter. Bill, I think we're missing the plot here. Oregon's a new team in the Big Ten. I thought we were supposed to play like a Big Ten team now. They showed up, they played like Iowa. Why are they not being applauded for this?
There is some truth to that. I mean, the fact that, you know, Idaho, which had some history with Oregon going back a century, maybe was not too happy about the death of the Pac-12 either and really rose to the occasion. There's so many ways to look at this at Saturday's game and the near miss that was. And I think one of the ways I'm mostly not looking at it is that this is like a five-alarm crisis for the Ducks. You know, I think I'm willing to at least have a certain degree of patience with them, despite the fact that that was a highly unusual and uncharacteristic opening performance for this program. I don't know. I need to see more before I really decide that this team is in trouble. I think that the more likely outcome is that this is the outlier and we still see the team that we thought we were going to see throughout the year. I mean, questions on the offensive line, they're going to have to shore up. Obviously there's some health concerns there. That's the biggest area of concern, but everywhere else, you know, statistically the Ducks did not perform that poorly defensively. You know, they were solid. I just am not quite ready to, you know, sound the alarm and start thinking doomsday.
Well, and they take on an opponent that largely just wants to run the football, and their defense, to your point, also had a pretty good performance. We're not talking about the defense today. It's all offensive line related. I think the only thing I would ask, though, in a follow-up, because I think we're kind of with you. I think Dirt's pressing the alarm button a little harder because he's an alum and he really wants his team to do well.
Right.
I think part of it for me is just like a lot of this noise was brought on by themselves. Their coach was the one out Big Ten Absolutely. Media Day saying, we're the team out west, and they're floating ducks in rivers, and it's all about this and that. And they like to kind of bring it on, and a lot of pundits are buying in, and it's not that they can't be it. I think for me it's just like, all right, all this noise, and you struggle with Idaho, and like that's the concerning part to me.
I mean, I agree with that completely, Brandon. And like, I got a great reader email, and I think this reader, I just pulled it up as you were saying it, because it just captured the sentiment so well. But basically, that, you know, the ad campaign and all the noise that the Ducks have come in with, and, you know, basically, you know, even the ad last week with the duck on the dirt bike, you know, carving an O in the tradition of the Big Ten. This reader, John, said basically it implies that the Ducks are on their way to a national championship this season, guaranteed. And that's risky because if you win, it's awesome. But if you perform like you did against Idaho, you look ridiculous. And so right now, even though the Ducks won, they do look a little ridiculous because what they've done on the field so far, in contrast to what they said they were, are completely out of sync. But they can fix that. You know, like that doesn't have to be the definition of this season. It's something they have to wear for a week. But if you don't get it fixed against Boise State, if you struggle against Boise or, you know, are losing to Boise, I mean, certainly if you lose to the Broncos, but you need to have a bounce back performance in a big way this weekend. Otherwise, you know, the chirping will intensify. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I thought the column was well put. The headline was perfect. Like, it doesn't have to be an upset to be upsetting. I don't know if I've ever watched a game that felt more like a loss that was a win than that one for Oregon. And now, I think to your larger point, the question becomes, is that the driving force of the wake-up call maybe of like, all right, we can't just steamroll everybody by showing up. And if they come out and do it against Boise, a lot of that noise will die down. And you'll say, okay, Oregon's a good team. You were in Corvallis this weekend, right, Bill?
Yeah, I was at the Oregon State Idaho State game, which around the late in the third quarter of the OSU game started to feel like a bad decision.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I picked the wrong. I mean, I don't blame it going in. We all had the same thought of like, oh, these would be blowouts, but you know, Oregon's going to win by 80. They beat Portland State by like 80 last year. What was the reaction of being in Corvallis? The start of a new era for them. Obviously, a tight game in the first half, but they pull away in the second half. What was the crowd atmosphere like? Just what were the takeaways from being in Corvallis this weekend?
It kind of felt like a typical opening weekend against an FCS team. You know, you kind of go into that sort of thing thinking that you're going to be smacked in the face by some, you know, oh, it's a new era. It's, you know, the Pac-12 is gone. It's going to feel so different. And it really didn't. And I would also say, you know, one of the downsides to playing a game like that against Idaho State, a team that I mean, say what you will about the Ducks in Idaho, Oregon State, I don't think you could play that game 100 times. They're not losing to Idaho State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can talk to me about Idaho State's passing offense last year and all that, and I think they are a little better year over year. But that is just a matchup that is not going to go the way of the Bengals. And so I don't feel like we learned anything about the Beavers really. I mean, I thought Javonte McCoy looked pretty good. He didn't put the ball in the air a lot. You know, 9 of 10, but he managed the offense well. I thought he seemed in good sync with his. With the running backs, I mean, obviously, you know, Jam and Anthony Hankerson both had huge days. It's not going to look exactly like that against, you know, FBS opponents. But I thought that they had a good rhythm. I thought the offense, you know, played with, you know, I thought the script was good. So I was encouraged by the offense. The defense early left something to be desired. But I would also say, I mean, you know, the Beavers are losing at the end of the first quarter. That first quarter saw them, you know, score early, then go on another big drive only for Jam Griffin to turn the ball over, fumble it, and then you have a safety where, you know, the backup long snapper puts it through the back of the end zone. And those are both in the first quarter when they're losing 9-7, and then they go on to roll the rest of the way. So, you know, you take out those early miscues on the first quarter of a new season, and we're not even talking about that game being particularly close. So the Beavers, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of where I was on the Beavers before, which is, you know, they should be mostly fine this season, kind of in that anywhere from 6 to 8 win range. 6 would be low, 8 or 9 would be high. But, you know, I thought McCoy sort of solidified his position. I know Jabari had that nice touchdown drive. And I will say I thought it was interesting that we didn't see Ben Golbranson in that game.
Yeah.
Because you know, the sense from Trent Bray had been that all three quarterbacks would play, or that certainly Ben was kind of that number two. And, you know, it seems like they're scripting a series for Jabari, and then Giovanni was in good rhythm, and it kind of seems like those are the two quarterbacks you're going to see the vast majority of this year.
They have a pretty big road game this weekend against San Diego State, so we'll see what they do and how they respond from maybe a slow start this weekend and how they finished out. I am curious, the news that they've allowed the time to go by with their scheduling agreement with the Mountain West, that's not going to happen now. What do you foresee with Oregon State? Is there a conference, some pointing to the Big 12, people like to point to the ACC because of the Clemson-Florida State stuff. How do you foresee the scheduling aspect, I think, of Oregon State? Because the unfortunate thing is, it is football season, we care a great deal about the team, but they still have this elephant in the room with them that we still kind of have to pay attention to. How do you see their scheduling going forward? Do you think they're going to lean one conference over another, or just be all over the place?
Well, I think that what the Mountain West has taught us is, you know, this Mountain West partnership has taught us is you can sort of integrate these two teams with a partnership, a scheduling partnership, without really disrupting conference play or the conference schedule. You know, the Mountain West is going to function largely as the Mountain West has. You know, obviously Oregon State and Washington State aren't eligible for the Mountain West, you know, championship game. I think that the Beavers and presumably the Cougars would love to see what that looks like with a Big 12, with the ACC. Is it possibly a hybrid? Is there a way that you make it where you're going to play two Mountain West schools? I mean, what would it need to be? Where you're playing two Mountain West schools, two Big 12 schools, and two two or three ACC schools? You know, can you sort of, could you sort of plant your flag sort of all over the place, like you said, where it's not all in with a partnership with one conference in the Mountain West? I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, Oregon State would never disparage the Mountain West in this way, but it's like you could have an alliance with a conference. You'd rather it was the ACC or the Big 12 because you view yourself at that level, a Power 4 conference. So I think that that's kind of where they're looking. It doesn't rule out the possibility of returning to the Mountain West. I think relations between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West are strong. I think this has been a positive and productive partnership. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Mountain West still be a part of it going forward. I just think, you know, these two, you know, the proverbial Pac-2 just wants to take a bite out of the Big 12, the ACC, and sort of, you know, put themselves more on the Power 4 conference map than they are going to be this year. Because, you know, for the Beavers, it's, you know, Purdue, Oregon, Cal, and that's your, you know, that's your Power 4 schedule.
Yeah, the tough part with that, too, is that if you're going to play a Mountain West schedule largely, you would want to at least get the benefits of being in the Mountain West, that if you win it, you could have a chance to go to a college football playoff, and they're kind of in that weird no man's land without having a home. So I tend to agree with you there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Last one for you, Bill. We famously had you months ago write a column that you were going to eat your shirt if the city didn't get a WNBA team. Now, everybody online right now is looking for a Florida State fan who's supposed to eat poop out of a cup. So thankfully you didn't go that far. But do you? Is there vindication for Bill Orem? We got news that it looks like a WNBA team might be coming and your shirt will not need to be eaten.
Well, I mean, first of all, credit to Sean Hyken on that one. I mean, that's the scoop of the year locally, if that ends up coming to fruition. But like what I had said, and I think I wrote this in March or April or sometime, I kind of took a victory lap on the shirt thing already, mostly to get the haters to stop telling me to eat the thing. But, you know, once the dust had settled from the Kirk Brown debacle and, you know, the really weird messaging from Kathy Engelbert, you know, pinning the deal falling apart on the Blazers, which was not true. The chatter around the WNBA and with the people who were invested locally was, it was just a matter of time. And it was, you know, the WNBA added Toronto, obviously the Bay Area team starts next year. And it became basically Portland is next. You know, I was told like 99% it was going to happen. And so it seems like we are moving closer to that based on what's out there. And, you know, I think that's going to be a great thing for the city of Portland. I think it's going to be a great thing for the region. And, you know, sports are separate from politics and everything else. But, like, also, I think for the city of Portland, I think, you know, having an outside entity like the WNBA look at Portland and say, yes, this is where we want to put our next expansion team. This is a city we want to invest in. This is a city we want to grow with. I think it's such a meaningful win for the city of Portland after the last 5 years. So I'm really excited for that, you know, for somebody to really believe in Portland and to build something in Portland, you know, in the sports sense. This is a great, great, great city for women's sports. It's a great basketball city. The Portland Fire were supported when they were here 20 years ago. It wasn't a lack of fan support that killed the Fire. You see a lot of noise about that, you know, people don't realize that the Fire had 10,000 fans at every game, which in 2002 was, you know, really good turnout for the WNBA. And so I think this city is going to support the WNBA when it arrives. And, you know, I told Jenny at the sports bra that she could have my, that she could have my Natalie Williams jersey, and other people could eat while looking at it. So Jenny, if you still want it, we can work something out.
Who wins the title first, the WNBA team or the Blazers?
Ooh.
Well, it's a trick question. No, it's an unfair question. It's a mean question. Considering we don't have a WNBA team at this point in the city of Portland, and presumably that team would start in 2026, you're talking about an expansion team. By 2026, I would like to think that we see the Blazers really kind of starting to put it in gear. You know, they're going to have Cooper Flagg by then.
We could have Juju Watkins.
At which point I'm going to say that the Blazers will be three years away. They're probably going to win the title in the 50th anniversary of the 77 team.
Okay.
In the name of preserving good relations throughout the state, I'll say the Blazers. Although, again, much smaller league. It'll be a 16-team league, so the math would say the W team. Yeah. How's that for being diplomatic?
That is a great political answer right there. Bill Orme running for an office near you. He's the columnist at the Oregonian. Great stuff on both the Ducks and the Beavs this weekend. Exciting news to come, obviously, with the WNBA stuff on the horizon. At Bill Orme on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks for the time this morning, man. We always appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.